today on Fifth Avenue in New York, the 255th Parade of New York City, the St. Patrick's Day Parade. We want to welcome indeed somebody who's a lot to brag about these days, bragging indeed about, as we just saw a short time ago on St. Patrick's Day Parade, on the 255th, 1.3 million visitors to Ireland last year, and heading for breaking the record again this year. Niall Givens, CEO Worldwide of Tourism Ireland, you're very welcome to the program.
Adrian, thank you for having me on the show. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and to all your listeners. Great to be in New York City again.
Let me ask you about this Go Green for St. Patrick's Day, a notion which you rolled out a few years ago and had some of us scratching our heads and say, oh boy, you know what he's doing this time, but you did. Tell us about it.
Well, it started off 7 years ago. It was actually the anniversary of the arrival of the Irish in Australia, and the Sydney Opera House lit up green for us. And we noticed that the PR value of it was more significant than we thought. It created a real glow. Irish people felt very proud. So we decided to extend the notion around the world to see what other icons would go green. And places like the London Eye and the Empire State had always gone green anyway. And all of a sudden now, as of today, there are 200 global icons around the world lighting up green in honour of St. Patrick. And there are many of them here in the United States. For example, 7 World Trade Center lit up green for us yesterday, which is really good. Empire State here in New York, the Wrigley Building in Chicago, Bridgestone Theater in Nashville. In London, the Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square, did I ever think that I'd seen Nelson go green? Never. The Sky Tower in Auckland, New Zealand. New countries like Slovakia, Slovenia even, you know, have started to light up green as well. Poland, there were about 12 buildings that lit up green, in Germany, 16. So we really have captured the imagination of the world. No one else does this. No one else has a national day like us. And it's fantastic to see all the positive PR and to see Ireland trending number one in Twitter around the globe for all the right reasons.
Well, no one else would have the cheek, indeed, to present that, other than it does show us how much the Irish are appreciated, and Ireland is appreciated throughout the world. Figures, indeed, in terms of tourists, well, worldwide to Ireland, the list just keeps on growing and growing to the point where one might think, you know, maybe you're at saturation point right now, but that's not so.
I don't think so. Last year was a very good year. We have seen about 9.3 million visitors to the island of Ireland, north and south, which is really good. That's well up on the year before. And we've already got off to a positive start this year. We know that numbers are up 17% for the month of January. The omens are looking very good from this market, particularly from the United States into Ireland. We have additional gateways coming on. Aer Lingus launching new services from Newark, from Los Angeles, and from Hartford, Connecticut. And it means that by the end of 2016, Ireland will be served from 12 gateways from the United States into Ireland, into Shannon, Dublin and Belfast. And I know as well that Cork Airport are knocking on the door with Norwegian looking to fly into Boston as well. That may not get over the line this year. But, I mean, obviously there's an appetite for more, and I think that's going to serve people looking to come home really, really well.
You know, Ireland used to be a seasonal destination in days of yore. Summertime in Ireland was the high season. The high season is 52 weeks a year now.
Very much so. I mean, we're certainly from this market, we're seeing that, you know, as you said, it would be a 3 or 4 month market maybe 10 years ago, but now really stretching all year round. And I think it's a testament to the fact that there are more things to see and do as well. There are more attractions open all year round. For example, the next week in Ireland, Witness History is going to open in the GPO. That'll be a tremendous new attraction that will tell the story of 1916. And also Epic Ireland is a new attraction that will open in Dublin as well, which will welcome about 400,000 visitors in its first year, and that's going to tell the story of the Irish diaspora. So there are more things to see and do. It's easier to get there. And I think that you know, people are realizing the benefit of that, that you don't have to just come over in July and August. Sometimes it's nice to come off peak as well, when Dublin maybe isn't as busy, or you're traveling anywhere around Ireland now with a good motorway network.
Niall Givens, it'll be no trouble to you indeed to point out with your Mayo roots that the one of the greatest touring routes in the world is the Wild Atlantic Way, and again, many would consider that Ireland has been around for many centuries. So has the west coast of Ireland. But to enhance and to attract, a great number of visitors, well, tons of visitors from around the world, particularly from North America, tell us how you marketed the Wild Atlantic Way, which takes us from Donegal down the whole way down to right round to Cork.
Well, as you know, the Wild Atlantic Way, as you said, takes you all the way from Donegal down into Kinsale in County Cork. A 1,500-mile route that you don't have to do all in one go. But really what it does is it brings together all the things that people like about Ireland the most. You've got the friendliest people on Earth along that route. You've got the most stunning landscape and scenery and real Irish culture as well. And the route is well mapped, well marked out. So, you know, if you want to spend time in the southwest in Cork and Kerry, or if you want to spend time in Galway and Mayo, it's all there waiting for you. And it'll be continued to be developed. There'll be new apps brought in. There'll be new discovery points introduced over the coming years in the Wild Atlantic Way. So it's something really that has captured the imagination of so many people when they come to Ireland, and they really value having a really good touring route that's so long. And I mean, this compares, you know, really favourably when you look at other great touring routes like the Pacific Coast Highway, the Great Ocean Road in Australia even. The Wild Atlantic Way is right up there and has been recognised by the international media as such, which is really good news.
The coastal routes, including, of course, the Wild Atlantic Way, as we go into Northern Ireland, there is, of course, a great extension of coastal routes in the north too, and we should point out that Ireland and Tourism Ireland is a 32-county Ireland, and it is promoted as such for tourists.
Yeah, correct. We're an all-Ireland body, born out of the Good Friday Agreement. And when you mention that Wild Atlantic Way, if you keep on going all the way from Cork up to Donegal, you'll eventually link in to the Causeway Coastal Route, which brings you around by the Giant's Causeway, which also lit up green last night for the first time ever, by the way, which I think is a great monumental achievement. Well done to the Giant's Causeway. You can come all the way around to Belfast on that route, Carrickarreed Rope Bridge. And if you want to see something new, you have to visit the Gobbins Cliff Walk, which is an old path which has been restored. It was originally created in 1902, fell into disrepair, and they spent over $10 million restoring it to its former glory. And it's a walk in a set of cages which are bolted onto a cliff along the northeast coast, and it's called the Gobbins Cliff Walk. And it's a stunning piece of scenery that if you have a chance to get anywhere near the Antrim coast, you have to try and do it. And then, of course, you can finish up in Belfast taking a tour of the Titanic. If you're a big fan of Game of Thrones, HBO's smash hit series, that is filmed in Northern Ireland, and there are two tours there now for Game of Thrones, which last year attracted 20,000 people, and that's going to be a big winner in the years ahead.
Alison Metcalf, who is the Chief of Tourism for North America, indeed has brought to our attention and has been talking up a new feature in Ireland, Ireland's Ancient East. And that's something that's attracting a lot of attention this year.
It certainly is, and this is sort of a Wild Atlantic Way of the East Coast to some extent. Not necessarily a coastal drive, but it brings together various aspects of Ireland's history on the East Coast. And you can start with the oldest part, which is the Neolithic period and the tombs up at Newgrange or Brú na Bóna, where you come across passage tombs that have been there for over 5,000 years. They're as old as the pyramids of Egypt. You've got a lot of Anglo-Norman history around the time of the invasions of the Vikings, get down to places like Waterford where the Viking Triangle is. And also then, you know, if you want to examine some of the Anglo-Irish history, some of the great houses that were left by the British time, their time here, can be seen. And some of them restored to their former glory as well, like Belvedere House. And so many, many good attractions in Ireland, Ireland's Ancient East. Again, very good touring route, and that's something that's going to be very, very exciting for the future.
Niall, on this very special day and a very special year that is in this, the centenary of 1916, and the rising in Ireland, we know that in addition to the great number of tourists, particularly from North America, who visit Ireland for the St. Patrick's season, and this year getting a 2-for-1 because Easter comes on the heels of it as well. Tell us about the attractions and preparations that are currently being made and are currently indeed being produced in Ireland for the commemoration of 1916.
Well, there's a whole program of commemorations going on since January the 1st in relation to 1916, a very, very important year in our history. Obviously, the highlight are coming up next week around the anniversary itself on Easter Sunday and Monday. On Easter Sunday, there's a whole family day. People are being encouraged to bring their family and kids into town, lots of things to see and do. On Easter Monday, then, there's the actual parade itself, which will be a more commemorative aspect of the whole thing. But there are a whole range of events going on through the whole course of the year. There are exhibitions going on, interpretations, there are readings, there are discovery trails, there are tours. I mentioned the Living Witness History Project and the GPO itself, which is the home of the Rising to some extent. That opens at the end of next week, so that'll be a new attraction for anybody that's in Dublin. And I mentioned as well Epic Ireland, the new diaspora story, which is there too. You'll be able to find out an awful lot more on Ireland.com, and there's also a site called Ireland.ie, which is specifically designated as a 1916 anniversary site. So lots of things to see and do, certainly, and a very important year, especially for our diaspora, and particularly for people who have connections with that period, many of whom are abroad.
And many of them here, as we know and as we've seen and met during the season. 1916, the centenary, is being commemorated and celebrated right across the world, but in particular for every week of the year for 2016, the commemorations are taking place right across the United States. And indeed, as you correctly point out, what a better way to commemorate than to visit Ireland, Ireland.com. Niall Gibbons, you're very welcome indeed to the program, as you always are. And I do want to recognize, of course, that for the last 46 years, I have always enjoyed the sponsorship of Tourism Ireland. So again, to you, to Alison, and to Tourism Ireland, thank you for that. And have a happy, happy St. Patrick's Day. And from the television as we watch here on Fifth Avenue, you're doing that.
Well, thank you very much indeed. It's great to be on the show again. We appreciate all the support and connectivity that you give us into the diaspora. And I want to thank the American people for the really wonderful support we've had. I mean, Irish tourism couldn't be a success only for the great support that we get over here. And I want to compliment Alison Metcalf and the team at Tourism Ireland, who've done a wonderful job too. But great to talk to you as always, Adrian. Always a pleasure to be on the show. And I'm looking forward to the next time already.
Okay. And I'm just going to pick a song here at random. If it rings a bell with you and indeed some more of us, I think that'll be all right too. Oh my God, it's Moonlight and Mayo. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Niall Gibbons, friend, CEO, Tourism Ireland Worldwide, Ireland.com. I know. St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York.